Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Conservative Talk Radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. Today in our studio, we have from New Jersey, United States Senate candidate, Tricia Flanagan, who is seeking the GOP nod against current U.S. Senator Cory Booker and presidential candidate Cory Booker. We want to welcome you to the show. Tricia, how are you today?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you, Chauncey. Thank you for having me on. It's always an honor to be with you and with your wonderful listeners.
And we're happy and blessed to have you. Briefly share with the American people who Tricia Flanagan is.
Sure. You know, I'm sort of the unexpected candidate in a lot of ways. I'm a big believer in the citizen candidate. I believe that our government was set up to be just that. It was set up beautifully, especially as we reflect on Constitution Day today, what our four founders envisioned. They set up a government that was of, by, and for the people, that required that private citizens from the private sector would come to Washington and, you know, and contribute their time, talent, treasure, and then they would craft legislation that they then would go back into the private sector and live the fruits of. And I think that when you get into what we see now defined as a swamp, I'm committed to fully draining it. I think that when you have politicians that have been marinated in that political mill, the logical endpoint is what we see now. And I'm committed to changing that. I come from the private sector. I bring 25 years of experience. I started my career as a biochemist doing oncology. And then I went on to work at some of the world's foremost pharmaceutical leaders. And then for the second half of my career, I started my own consultancy. I come from a military family and always believed that you should give back to your country. And this is how I intend to give back, to be part of the great country that we live the fruits of every day.
Thank you. This is, I believe, you ran for U.S. Senator before. This is your second time running. Can you talk about some of the issues that you care about as it relates to America, the United States?
Absolutely. Yes, you referenced that I ran in the midterm last year really for one purpose. I was in the race for about 4 months, and I saw the lay of the land in New Jersey that the NJGOP had been fractionated long before I came along. And as has happened in a couple of elections, there was nominated a candidate that really did not stand on the true Republican platform. And because the Republican Party is so near and dear to my heart, I think some of my family roots go all the way back to the party of Lincoln. I saw that we were in a battle for the heart and soul of our Republican values. And so I started there with a stake in the ground, pulling us to what I believe the conservative values of the Republican Party are. And I also was speaking to the largest sector of our voting electorate that's often neglected, the 2.4 million conservatives who consider themselves unaffiliated. And while I remained and still am a devoted Republican Party nominee and voter, I thought that it was something important to set the framework for what's going to be the critical election in 2020 for U.S. Senate. And so when you ask about the issues that are most important, I'm big about policy. I think that we have to have great ideas, but we also have to have the practical application of policy and legislation. And so I fully developed a 5-point initiative that which I include everything from immigration reform to a living economy. I always say we don't need a mandated living wage. We need a living economy that's going to take advantage of the tax cuts that we already see and stand to benefit from in the tax cut 2.0 that President Trump has discussed. And so I also have a healthcare plan and policy, what I like to call the American Healthcare Restoration Act, That's my vision. And I round it out with a Constitution Caucus that delves into every fabric of rights that we need to reestablish as United States citizens.
Your five-point plan, can you elaborate on the five-point plan again for the American people?
Sure. So, and we can unpack each because, you know, it's sort of like a point-and-click flow chart, right? So you have your overarching platform, and then as you open it up and unpack it, there are a variety of different pieces to it. So, you know, again, immigration reform is one of my 5 points. So that includes full immigration reform, including an end to the visa lottery. It includes end to chain migration, and it includes a plan to not only build the wall but fully fund it, because President Trump's initiative is well underway building the wall, but we have to completely fund it, and that's up to the United States Congress, as we've seen with this funding battle that already ensued. And when we look at the budget for 2020 and beyond, that's going to be an important allocation to achieve that goal. Another aspect of the plan economically is what I like to call my living economy plan. I've already begun reaching out to form a tri-state commission that is really going to extend up and down the East Coast, with New Jersey as the crown jewel in that whole ensemble. New Jersey is ripe and ready to be the next technology corridor of not just the East Coast, but I believe of our country. If we can get beyond the tax and spend liberal assault of the Murphy, Booker, Menendez tax and spend trifecta, I believe that we can start attracting and, most importantly, retaining the incredible talent that we have in our state to accomplish just that. This U.S. Senate seat that I'm running for is where our state's rights and constitutional fortitude meets the overarching Constitution and then works within the entire United States to achieve these goals. You and I have talked a bit about my vision for what I like to call a MAGA majority. That's that supermajority in the U.S. Senate that will fully empower our president. But equally important is reaching across our country, but also going wide and deep within each state. And my state of New Jersey stands to really reap the benefits of that. And that's what my plan, my economic plan, seeks to achieve. And I mentioned the healthcare reform policies that I've put forth, as well as forming a Constitution Caucus that kind of rounds it out.
Now, New Jersey is one of the highest tax states in the nation.
Yeah.
What do you think that, in your position of the U.S. Senator, you can try to do, hopefully, to keep more people here in our state and not lose people to the increasing taxes that is being burdened by New Jersey taxpayers?
Yes. And there's, shockingly, I believe there's a lot we can do. And I think that U.S. Senate Senator Cory Booker has either neglected to do that or doesn't care, or a tragic combination of both. And so, you know, there are a couple of pieces to answer your question. So New Jersey is one of the states that gets very few of its dollars back from the federal budget. So that's kind of a relatively easy place to start closing the gap, because a U.S. senator can be extremely beneficial and influential in making that happen. But, you know, the state budget is set in Trenton, but there are ways that a U.S. senator can push back on that as well. And I mentioned a moment ago about how a U.S. senator can function in that space between the 10th Amendment of states' rights and the overarching U.S. Constitution. Well, when you look at our budget allocation and when you look at the billions that have been added on for programs like funding illegal aliens, college tuition, and giving them legal aid, and there's a whole ensemble of costs that are tacked onto the budget, when you look at the increases there, well, that's an easy place to cut those programs out. I would argue that they're unconstitutional. I am ready to go into the fight armed with our Constitution and fight for United States citizens, fight for New Jersey citizens. New Jersey citizens should not be paying those fees alone, the billions of extra dollars that Bill Murphy has allocated and extracted from the taxpayers for illegal aliens. That folds into my immigration plan as well, but these specifics are where we can start to knit together all of the pieces so that everything isn't done in the silo of just the state budget and then the U.S. Senate is completely separate. There has to be more fluidity, and I always say to my constituents that I meet on a daily basis, this is your seat and your voice. I'm ready to fight for you, and Washington, D.C. will not feel so far away anymore.
For those who have just called in, you're listening to Conservative Talk Radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. Our guest in the studio today is New Jersey's U.S. Senate candidate, Tricia Flanagan, who's seeking the GOP nod in New Jersey against sitting Senator Cory Booker. New Jersey is probably one of the most densely populated states in the nation. We have a crumbling infrastructure, our roads, our bridges, our tunnels need to be revamped. What is your position on trying to work on getting funds to assist with rebuilding our infrastructure?
Part of that goes to getting more federal dollars back into our state. We shouldn't be outlaying this wide gap and have this wide margin. We need to get more in return. But I'm also not a fan of corporate welfare or bailouts. I'm a big fan of engaging the private sector. And if they stand to benefit, they should be sharing that cost burden. So a good example of that is Amtrak and is New Jersey Transit. They should not be getting tax benefits, and they should not be creating and revamping and refurbishing their infrastructure based on the backs of the taxpayers of New Jersey. So because I come from that world, because I've been a change agent negotiating within not just the corporate structure but as a consultant, I know where they hide the money, and I know how to create that atmosphere of not only shrewd negotiation but results. And I am representing the citizens of New Jersey, no one else. And so when you have a change agent that's dedicated to that, I'm also a taxpayer. I have three children. I want to keep them here. I want to thrive. I want us all to make New Jersey better than we've ever been. And I think that is clearly one way to do that, is to send someone to the U.S. Senate like myself who has the critical experience and the proven track record to get things done. When you talk also about what New Jersey has to do to become more attractive. I think that, the retention issue, we graduate more engineers than any state in our country, and they're going to other states. So part of it is to make sure that we have the jobs necessary to keep and sustain our economy and to keep the talent. And that's going to reside in pushing back on what I believe are truly unconstitutional taxes. When we approach it that way, not only will New Jersey win, but we will lead the way for all America.
It sounds like your message is for bringing everybody to the table, and that's definitely going to be a challenge for you. There hasn't been a U.S. Republican senator since 1972, in Senator Clifford Case. Conservatives like yourself are going to have to reach across all aisles to try to get things done for New Jersey. What is your position on education, not only nationally? We have challenges in urban education in New Jersey. What do you think that you can do as a U.S. senator to help not only bring resources, but maybe to provide maybe more oversight with educational dollars? And or I should ask, do you support public education or or charter schools? I guess that probably would be the better question.
I can't wait to answer that question about education, because I've recently joined on with a team of educational advisors with 30 plus years experience in educational choice, which I'm firmly for. I do want to put a pin in, though. You made an interesting statement about working across the aisle and kind of the lay of the political landscape in New Jersey and how we've gone so long without Republican representation. There are some startling numbers that I don't want to forget to go over with you, but first,
yes,
let me jump back to the education issue, and then I'd love to delve further into that part of it as well. In terms of educational choice, I think that we have to look at the reality of what public schools are delivering. By any measure that you look at, independent schools are far, far outperforming public schools. And so I've always been an advocate of choice. Our Constitution endows us with that. And I hear from parents every day who are so frustrated by the fact that they want to have better educational choices for their children, but because of the tax burden that they have and they're not able to use their tax dollars for that choice, they're really between a rock and a very hard tax situation. I firmly advocate putting those tax dollars back into the hands to facilitate the choices of parents. That, in my opinion, parents are the only entities that should be making choices for education for their children. Now, what does that look like? You mentioned charter schools and independent schools. That looks like, it's a very simple equation. It looks like taking those tax dollars and letting parents pay school tuition with those dollars. Now, the pushback that we often hear is that, well, then public schools will cease to thrive and perhaps even cease to exist. And I say that's a good thing, because if education is failing our children, somebody has to give me an argument who's saying that then they'll cease to exist. Well, then give me an argument why they should exist if they're failing our kids. We have to stay competitive more than ever before. And I am all for protecting what is, and not only protecting, but advocating for what is working. And you also asked a question about the keeper of the budget. Who should that be? And at the federal level, which is where I'm interfacing on this issue, I believe in more of a hands-off policy. I believe that the Department of Education be involved in making sure that parents' constitutional rights are not infringed when it comes to education, and making sure that their tax dollars are returned and protected. That's it. When it comes to the curriculum, when it comes to school choice, that belongs squarely in the camp of the parents who are making the decision and the educators who are doing the best job providing that service.
Okay. You had also mentioned that you might want to go back after you briefly spoke about education to talk about a Republican not winning in New Jersey in the U.S. Senate seat since Clifford Case 1972.
Right. And in fact, Republicans after this term are in the worst place we've been since 1917. But there is great news in all of that. And, you know, part of that is our leadership is phenomenal. Doug Steinhardt, who's the chair of the NJGOP, has now said we are, and this is a direct quote from a speech that he gave at the New Jersey, the NJGOP Leadership Summit. He said, "We are now unapologetically conservative." And that may seem paradoxic to those who say, well, wait a minute. We're outnumbered by Democrats 2-1. There are 2.1 million registered Democrats and 1.2 million registered Republicans in New Jersey. So some folks say, well, what, we're going to go further right? How does that make any sense? And what I tell you is the beautiful silver lining in all of this is that Democrats have told a very effective lie, that they're the majority, we're irretrievably blue, and it's going to be that way unless you come over to our side. Well, what I say to those that make that argument, and Chauncey, I think you know, I run hardcore analytics on my campaign, and I've been running these numbers since last spring. And Gallup recently confirmed that New Jersey actually skews conservative. There are only 6 states in our country that skew liberal, and New Jersey's not one of them. And the biggest treasure trove of voters in our state is the 2.4 million unaffiliated voters who skew conservative. And when you look at a heat map of New Jersey, some of our counties are redder than the Deep South. Alabama, mm-hmm. Some counties are not as red. When you have candidates who are nominated by less than 10% of the party and who are seen by that largest cohort of our constituency, when you have candidates that are nominated that are Democrat lights, that's how they see them, what happens is that largest cohort of voters stays home. And we saw that in 2 big elections over the last couple of years. Numbers bear that out. And so what do we do to increase the voter turnout? Because we're blue by voter turnout, not by voter demographic. Well, we have to make sure that, as Doug Steinhardt said, we are getting a message home that we're unapologetically conservative. New Jersey is ripe and ready to vote for a Republican that supports President Trump, who supports the Second Amendment, who is pro-life. I am all of those positions, and I also have been endorsed. I was endorsed last year, a Republican endorsed by New Jersey Right to Life, the largest and oldest Right to Life organization in our country. And when you also add in the 34% of registered Democrats who are pro-life, we have the second largest Democrat pro-life constituency, second only to Rhode Island. When you add up those constellations of voters, just the conservative constituency is 52% of the electorate. Now add in pro-life Catholics who are ready to come over. Now that's the win. And we just have to increase our turnout by about 3 to 5%, and we will be unstoppable. I believe we can do that. I'm the candidate that can bring that forward, and it's going to be a very, very exciting 2020 election for sure.
Thank you very much. If people want to be able to follow you and get a hold of you or donate, can you please share with us your Facebook, your Twitter, or your website? So if people would like to volunteer, participate, donate, or get a hold of you for upcoming events, can you please share that information with us?
Oh, absolutely. I'd be glad to. So my website is flanaganforsenate.org, and I'll spell that. It's FLANAGAN, flanaganforsenate.org. You can find me on social media, both Twitter and Facebook. You can find me at the handle New Day for NJ, and I'm also on Instagram at flanaganforsenate.
We want to thank you very much for coming on Conservative Talk Radio. For those who are listening in our audience, we are planning a 5-part series with U.S. Senate candidate Tricia Flanagan, where she is going to break down her 5-point plan, and we're going to break it down in 5 parts. And then on the 6th part, we're going to invite callers to call in from across the country and speak to the candidate. And if they have any questions, you can follow us, Conservative Talk Radio, on Twitter at Right Talk Radio. That's at Right Talk Radio on Twitter. You can also follow us on our blog at conservativetalkradio.blogspot.com. And also you can follow us on Facebook at Conservative Talk Radio. Please stay tuned for further updates and events that we normally would post on Facebook, but they're also at our blog and on Twitter. Once again, we want to thank Ms. Flanagan for coming on to our show. We look forward to having her back and beginning her 5-part series here with us on Conservative Talk Radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. We once again want to thank U.S. Senate candidate Tricia Flanagan for coming on our show and sharing her thoughts, her feelings, and her vision for America and New Jersey. And we look forward to having you next time on the show.
Thank you so much. Looking forward to it as well. Thank you.
Okay, America, thank you very much. Stand strong. Let's keep the faith. And God bless America. And don't forget 2020. Talk to you soon.